Kia ora and welcome to this episode of Better Off Red. My name is Pip Adam and this is episode 135. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be sharing some short chats I'm having with some of my favourite people. These are originally recorded at Wellington Access Radio and first appear on the Friday Drive show, which I host with Amy Delahunty. So in this first chat, I talked to Kerry Donovan Brown, one of my favourite people in the whole wide world, and just so grateful. At a really busy time, Kerry was able to pop into the station and have a chat with me. I asked Kerry about what they've been up to this year and what they've enjoyed this year and how they're feeling about 2024, and yeah, any thoughts about sort of how we will all get through 2024. So in this recording, Kerry also talks about two songs, and due to copyright, I can't play these songs on this episode, and I was thinking about taking out any reference to them from the recording, like editing them out, but there's such great recommendations and such great musicians, and yeah, it's beautiful. It's just magnificent, these two songs. So what I thought I'd do is leave Kerry's descriptions in the recordings so that you can hear them in context of the conversation. And I've put a link to both of them on the newsletter and on the website, so you can listen to the songs there. Or I'm sure you'll find it very easy to find them. Yeah, we live in a fantastic time for finding music. It's very cool. So I guess these conversations are as much for me to sort of touch base with people in my communities, and yeah, I just hope they bring a little bit of that balance of the sad and the happy and the difficult and the things that we do to try and get through the difficult. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm very grateful to Kerry, and yeah, I enjoyed having the conversation, so I hope you enjoy listening to it. Thanks, Heath. How are you?
Kia ora, Pip. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm really good. It's really nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you too.
And thank you. Oh gosh, very formal. It's really, thank you so much for spending some time on the 22nd of December, which seems like, is it the busiest day of the year? Who knows, really?
I feel like my time in Pornicky has been so busy, and it's such a, you know, like a grungy, bustling city these days that I feel like it's been a busy week.
Yeah, it has felt quite busy. And apparently it's really funny because every time I go across the road to buy chocolate at the 24/7, which I think is called the Night and Day, shout out to the Night and Day, Cuba, they always say to me, there's a cruise ship in town.
Ah, yes.
So yeah. Apparently that's why there's so many people.
Yeah, I went to the Dinosaurs of Patagonia at Te Papa, and there were definitely cruise ship folk about. Yeah.
They really, I think they boost the population quite high.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite wild. Would recommend Dinosaurs of Dinosaurs?
Look, I have big feelings about it, and I would maybe hope to be employed by Te Papa one day.
Sweet.
I'm not going to delve into them, but I will say, but just let me get off my chest. Skeletal mounts, the fossil mounts, were exquisite, and they're just breathtaking. The Amargasaurus was beautiful, the Carnotaurus, some of the smaller specimens were just gorgeous. I will say to Papa, if you're listening, that I paid however much I did, premium price for my ticket, and then I left because it was quite cruise shippy in there, and I thought I'll come back in a couple of hours. Yeah. And they wouldn't let me back in. It was like a high cost ticket, and it was only good for like an in and out. I couldn't come back later.
Would be a good thing to change.
Yeah, I reckon.
Even if it was like for the day, or like 7 hours, or 6 hours, or 4 hours, or something.
Yeah, because
like that.
Surely very few people are actually going to like want to step back in.
Yeah,
but I'm sure they have their reasons.
Can I ask a really stupid question? Sorry, this is nothing that I said we would talk about. But you know the mounts. Do they arrive all together, or is it someone's job to put them together, do you think? Because that'd be a cool job.
I mean, I can only speculate, but I think what I'm imagining is some maybe like digital instructions and like maybe some 3D imaging.
Oh my Lord. Oh, okay. That job is all I want now.
And then I wonder if there are some Argentinian folk who come along who are like really familiar with these specimens and support Te Papa Kai Mahi to erect them. But yeah, I'm not too sure.
Oh man, I can't wait. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it now. It's going to be awesome. So yes, thank you very much for coming along. We've absolutely leapt forward ridiculously, and that feels terrible. But I wonder, do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Oh sure. My name's Kerry Donovan Brown, and my pronouns are they, them. I'm a writer. I lived in Te Whanganui, Aotearoa for about 15 years from when I turned 20. The city's like super special to me. I worked at Te Mara Atane, the sanctuary, for a few years. And following that, I moved to Rotoroa for a little while to work at the Kiwi Hatchery there with an incredible team of women. And then after the lockdown, I moved back to my to the Waitaha Plains, where I grew up. And since that first lockdown ended, I have been living in Addington mostly in Ōtautahi. Yeah, and I'm visiting Pōneke from there. So
it's so great to have you here. And I don't know, like when you talk about all the things that you do and like your other work that isn't writing, it just gets me really excited about your writing because it feels like there's such a great flow between those two things. Like, yeah, I just love, I don't know, when I think about that amazing story that was published in the anthology, and then I think about the sanctuary, and yeah, there just seems like a very nice, I don't know, I often think of you when I'm in there, and then now I get to think about your amazing story as well.
Thank you, Pip. And you know, when my big fantasy, like one of my like points of fantasy around dreaming of publishing another book one day is I'm thinking about who I can thank in the acknowledgement section. And so many of the people who I would dream of thanking for a novel that I haven't written yet is the people who I've worked alongside at Te Mara Atane, at the Wellington Botanic Gardens, at the Kiwi Hatchery, and also in the work that I've done in gender affirming care, gender minorities, Aotearoa and Patha and Qtopia currently. Those spaces and the people who work in these spaces so inform my writing. And yeah. Yeah.
And it's a lovely idea. I have a friend who whenever she starts a novel, she always writes the acknowledgement at the front first so she knows who she's writing to.
Is this the author of one of my favourite books of last year, maybe The Animals in This Country?
Laura Jean, yeah. I think Laura Jean does it. It wasn't Laura Jean I was thinking of, but I think Laura Jean does it as well. Oh, Animals in My Country. Such a good book.
Yeah, I'm just reading. I've just started.
Oh, the new one.
The new one. I'm so, my brain at the moment.
But, I know. I'm thinking it's called Gunflower, I'll correct myself if I'm wrong. But yeah. Oh my gosh, so exciting. I was thinking that would be one of my Christmas reads. So it has been a year, and I just wonder, what have you been up to this year?
I'm sure I have been up to a lot. So I'm living in Ōtautahi, mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot of cycling, which is really nice.
Nice.
I have a bike, which I'm really emotionally and psychologically I'm imprinted on this thing. And Ōtautahi is just such a, the plains, one thing beautiful about those plains is that it makes cycling really easy and nice. That's how I get around. And I love it. I just love it. Lots of cycling in 2023.
Nice. What sort of bike do you have?
Oh, I think I have I bought it by looks.
Nice.
So I'm like... I first started cycling, you know, seriously when I was visiting Berlin for a few months in 2018, and someone lent me a bike. And I, circumstantially, I was spending quite a bit of time alone in Berlin, and I just did a lot of exploring by myself on this borrowed bike. And I think it was just, you know, like a city bike, if that's what a road bike, is that what you call them? But the bike that I have at the moment is, I think it's a mountain bike. I thought it was a hybrid, but I think it's just full mountain bike. And so big fat tires, so I can like ride without my hands sometimes.
And it has gears?
It has gears.
I'm so dumb. All bikes have gears, I'm sure.
No, they don't. No, I'm pretty sure not all of the bikes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And does it have more than three gears? When I was a kid, you had like three. And my dad called it was slow, medium, fast.
Oh, yeah. I have more than three gears. Nice. But I probably only use three.
Yeah, like, wow.
I probably only use the top three, if that's what they're
called. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that sounds really nice. And have you been doing a bit of riding this year? Like, one of the exciting things is that I've seen a lot of your riding out in bioheritage and places like that. And
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. What sort of riding you been up to?
So, riding-wise, I have been contracting for Bioheritage, which is an organisation kind of nested in Manaaki Whenua, Land Care Research. And Bioheritage is very interested in, I always describe it as kind of the meeting place of maybe like Western farming practices and conservation mahi and mātauranga Māori. So it's a really exciting and space to work in. And I interview researchers for the newsletter and write
Like
short stories for the newsletter. Yeah, and recently I started doing a little bit of writing for an app called Find a Pest. Find a Pest, which it's not. I'm writing pest profiles. I know.
I love this so much, and I feel like I need to clarify. We're talking like the vermin type of pest.
Yeah. But, the person who I report to, I think that is the only who's based at UC at University of Canterbury. Maybe you'll meet her during your residency.
I hope so. I like the sound of this person.
Abigail, she's really wonderful, and she's she's given me some great briefs. But generally, I'm writing profiles about pest species. So I think I haven't written about any vertebrate pests. I've written about two invertebrates, so the fall armyworm and the brown marmorated stink bug. But all the other ones have been... stink bugs, yeah. Great stuff. And I'm going to come back to the stink bugs in a moment. But the other profiles have been on plant pests, so sea spurge and velvet leaf, and we even looked at how pohutukawa can be pesty in Aotearoa sometimes. So, yeah, interesting stuff. I'm working on lupins, which are kind of a social media darling at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
In areas where they're actually imperiling endemic plant species. But Abby, shout out to Abby, so most of the time there are these pest profiles, and they're really fun to write, and she's given me, you know, we collaborated on how we would put them together, and she's really open, a really great person to work for. I was really interested in including in the profiles a section that looked at what keeps these organisms in check in their native ecosystems. Mm. And she was like, great. She was like, yeah, just go with that. But this other brief, the one-off brief that she gave me, which I was so excited for, was she was like, how about you write a piece of speculative fiction, like maybe set in 2027, and you write about, you play out a serious incursion from the brown marmorated stink bug and like over the space of a year. And how would this incursion happen?
Yeah.
How explore ways that may be critical moments where it could have been contained, and then how it would play out, and you know what would be the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are plenty of environmental, like in terms of katiakitanga, like conservation outcomes, but we were primarily looking at what effect an incursion, a serious incursion, would have on food industry, food industries. So never have I been given such a creative brief in science writing before, so it was really exciting.
It sounds so great. And I just, I don't know, I love the way that arts is kind of coming into STEM, you know, like the way that STEM is becoming STEAM, because I do think that kind of brief is really useful as a researcher, to give it to a mind that sort of, exercises imaginatively, and then I think that sounds great.
Yeah,
and what a great way to engage people as well.
Totally. And I think, not that I've read this book, but I have seen the Brad Pitt film, the one about the zombie and like
how, it's got X in World War Z.
World War Z.
I love that movie.
And it's such an exciting concept, eh? Like how I don't think my understanding of the book is that it's more a geopolitical kind of exploration of what might be the outcomes of zombies. So when I heard about this, like, brown marmorated stink bug brief, I was like, oh, I'm like a serious science fiction writer now.
I cannot wait to read it. I'm very excited. It just sounds really great. Oh my goodness. That the stink bug does seem very beautiful. It's such a beautiful name. Beautiful name.
So many beautiful names and so much poetry in the naming of the life forms we share planet Earth with.
You've brought in a couple of songs for us to play today, which is just so great. And I just wonder if we could play one now. And would you like to introduce it for us?
Sure. So I chose two songs that from trans non-binary performers. Well, the first one I'll introduce is by Jeffrey Ali or Eli, and gosh, presumably, I think they use they/them pronouns, but it's definitely a song that explores gender. It's it's a very gendery song, and it's called Sleeping Beauty. And I think I came across this song or this artist on Instagram. I think when they were a little one, which is not so long ago, because I think they're only in their early 20s. They were like a YouTube person or something
awesome.
Like this. So, like, very, I'm not very music savvy, but this Jeffrey has like a big kind of like woo, like a really
lovely.
Amazing like voice, and does like voice modulating kind of like beautiful big dramatic song. So it's a favorite of mine at the moment.
Awesome. Let's have a listen. Thanks so much for that. That was really lovely. I loved what you were saying about the whole, the ways that we find things. Because I was just looking, the entire archive of Rip It Up have just been put on Papers Plus, and it just blew my mind how, my memory of that is like lots of photos, and it was kind of like Instagram, but there are very few photos. Like, and then I suddenly remembered that taking a photo was quite a big deal in the 2000s. Like, it was actually quite a big deal to, to take a photo. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild, isn't it? I have a little folder on my computer somewhere of like maybe 9 pictures I took on my camera phone when I first moved to Pornicky in 2006.
Wow.
And, if I, like today, like imagine a 20-year-old, like how many pictures they would have in that folder.
That would be a lot in the folder. It'd be a lot in the folder. We're heading towards the end of the year, and I just wondered if you had thoughts about what the most enjoyable part of your year has been. Like, what have you enjoyed doing most? Like, I liked the idea of the biking, and maybe that's been the best part. But, what's the most enjoyable thing you've done this year?
Well, in some ways, it's been quite a challenging year for me. It's definitely not been without its challenges. So some of the nice things that have been really nurturing for me have been, I went on holiday with my mum and dad So we went to the Yarra Valley, to Toolungi.
Oh, nice.
That was really wonderful. We had, I think we had 2 or 3 weeks there. And, you know, there was an echidna in our driveway for a few weeks.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so jealous.
Kookaburra, like, you know, tens of kookaburra just across the gully, and, you know, like a blue-tongue lizard. It was just, you know, it was really, really spectacular, really beautiful country in the Yarra Valley. I guess, you know, we were over there during the referendum for the Voice, and I really expected it to pass because why the hell wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it didn't pass when we were there, and that was during the our election results as well, and that our Aotearoa's election was just totally eclipsed for me. Having really, you know, being in Australia, being in the Yarra Valley for 3 weeks, and just being totally nourished by that experience. I was gutted that Australia, many, many people in Australia aren't interested or feel imperiled by the idea that Indigenous folks, you know, the founders of this country, don't deserve a spot in government or governance, but also not understanding the rewards of that for everyone. It was, but we're so supposed to be talking about nice things, gosh.
But also I think, I think that what I'm hearing you say, and you can correct me, I'm probably wrong, but this thing where when we do enjoy something and embody it, and, you know, really fully, you know, get into the joy of it, I think that it does make us see injustice. And I think there's a joy in that, I think. You know, there's a joy in being able to say, okay, that's, instead of, I think, sometimes letting things flow over us, you know, everything you're saying, I just keep thinking about what's happened here. And, I don't know, like, I guess part of being awake and, you know, loving people and all that sort of thing is kind of feeling what's going on at the moment quite hardly. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah. Anyway, I got depressing as well. Do you have any more?
I started with a couple of other people, a writing group. And just like, sometimes things come really hard. Like sometimes you really have to work at stuff to, and this is something that came really easy for me. I emailed, I touched base with a few people. We collaborated on some ideas, and then we cast the net a little wider. And our writing group is Nicole Phillipson, who I think you know.
Oh, yes, magnificent writer.
Heck yes. And, you know,
Awesome person, too.
Yeah. And she just, for our first assignment, I guess, she wrote this. I gave like kind of a brief around folklore and around, I actually at University of Canterbury, I was lucky enough to be invited to deliver a couple of workshops this year. And my, my brief for the master's students for the activity that I was running was that meeting place of memoir and folktale or folklore. And so I gave the same brief for our first assignment. And Nicole just, I'm not sure, maybe, Pip, you know what it's called, where a story is kind of made up of written artifacts or...
Yeah. I don't know what that's called, but I know what you mean. It's kind of metafictional in that, So is it like sort of imagined found documents kind of?
Yeah, awesome. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
And she started it like... on page 2. You just have to read
Superb,
it. It's so good.
Can't wait.
We probably don't have time for me to really accolade every single person, but Jack Van Bynen, I hope I'm saying his name right, Nathaniel Hers, Aidinger, Sue Francis, Winita Hippie, Regan Stokes, and Richard Larson, who you, I think you interviewed on your podcast of Glass Vaults. And they're just like... a super cool group of people. And yeah, it's just like, it's an 11 out of 10. And, you know, it's 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did my master's in creative writing at Vic in 2012.
Wow.
So a long time ago. And Sue Francis, who is this wonderful writer who lives in Waimate, she was in my cohort. And, you know, we were sitting around my lounge and we were feeding back for this first assignment in our writing group. And I was listening to Sue give really, you know, like thoughtful commentary on a piece that she read. And, you know, and I felt almost overcome with emotion. It was just like, I was like, wow, here we are again.
Yeah.
Like this is, it just felt like such a privilege to have access to Sue's perspective on things again. And that's what, you know, I guess that's what people love about the Institute of, the International Institute of Modern Letters and that creative writing program, is that you, for a year, you have access to the perspectives of some really great thinkers, really great creative thinkers. Yeah, so I'm just super... This is just a recent thing in 2023, but it's definitely been a highlight for me.
I just love the sound of that. And like just, you know, this amazing idea of recreating it is just, you know what I mean? Like there's the structures that happen inside institutions and then to be able to, you know, like those lifelong friendships that are made. And
yes.
Yeah, oh my God, that's just so good. It's so good. Have you been reading much this year?
Yes. I started off reading a whole bunch and then I picked a few kind of heavy texts later on in the year and have slowed down a little.
Yeah.
But I do have a, I read, I really loved Matrix by Lauren Croft.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then when I was in the Yarra Valley, I picked up The Vaster Wilds, which is her follow-up. And I think it's part of an intended trilogy.
Awesome.
But, you know, the a trilogy where the maybe they're set in the same universe, but they're not, like, necessarily related. Have you read The Vaster Wilds?
I haven't. This is, you can probably hear me scratching away. It's really interesting because when I heard that Vaster Wilds and Matrix spoke to each other, because Vaster Wilds really appeals to me because it sounds quite... you know, out in the foresty kind of, just my kind of thing. So I was thinking that I might go back and read The Matrix before I read Vaster Wilds, but do you think, or do you reckon?
I think you could.
Like, because I just thought, like I realise, you know, that the trilogy is, you know, starting, you know, but I just really liked the idea of starting, but then that Matrix might not even be her first book, eh? I don't know.
It's the third book of hers that I've read. So I've read her short story collection, Florida.
That's right, Florida.
I remember loving it.
It's so good, eh? Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that sounds so exciting. And to be reading on holiday, lovely.
Yes.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
You know, I bought it in a local bookshop in Hillsville, and it felt very holiday ready for me. And should I tell you a little bit about it?
Yeah, go on.
Just very briefly, it's about a young woman who escapes Jamestown,
that's
settlement
right.
of Jamestown in the early 1600s, and flees into the woodlands that make up, Powhatan land on the east coast of North America. And... You know, it made me think a little bit of Hatchet, Carrie Paulson's Hatchet, because it's a survival story, and Hatchet is like a formative piece of work for me. But it's she's very much on the move. She never really stops. And it's quite grueling.
Yeah.
And it tells quite a grueling story. But, you know, I guess what it had me thinking about was that, you know, like life isn't linear, and like sometimes you have like really beautiful moments amid quite profound challenges. And it's not, but that kind of is so reductive in a way, because it's not like, you know, she like breaks her ankle and then like sees a beautiful like, you know, like iridescent beetle or something, and it's like wee wee wah wah. That's not it. But it's more profound than that, and it has you considering it had me considering at the end of the book, you know, what was it like to spend this time with this person, given where she ultimately arrives at. And yeah, it's just it's a real masterpiece, I think.
Sounds incredible. Oh my gosh, I know where I'm going to be living for the next few weeks.
I wanted also to mention a favourite book to recommend this year for me actually has been Alien into Charybdis. So as, I'm not sure if that's how to say it, Charybdis, like Skeela and Charybdis.
Yeah.
And this is by Alex White, who is a non-binary author from the Americas, and Alien, as in set in Ridley Scott's Alien universe.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, you know, like when you're reading a book that a story from within a property like Alien or whatever, like whatever franchise it is that you're interested in, it feels like what do people say about things not like it's not like real literature, or like you're having something naughty. What is that expression?
Pleasure.
exactly.
God forbid.
true. And I was like, I was really resistant to that, like the idea that it. You know, that I should be reading something more highbrow.
Yeah.
I was resistant to the feeling that I was having about that.
Yeah.
But it really is just, in itself, it's just a real work of genius in that it's about a tech team who are employed to install, like, environmental systems in this Iranian colony on this planet somewhere. There's a little like cross section of this colony. It's like a massive data bank silo.
Awesome.
And by the end of this book, you just feel like maybe in a couple years' time, you want to go on holiday to this like the terrifying silo.
Yep.
It feels like somewhere you could visit. Alex White, it's so good. And it's it feels like a real proper, I love Alien and I love Aliens.
Yeah.
And it feels so coherent to those two worlds.
Mm-mm.
And it's terrifying. It's a terrifying story. Great characters, really quite a massive cast
Mm-mm.
of characters, which is really impresses me when people can do that.
Mm-mm.
And just really great horror, really, really frightening.
That just sounds so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love the sound of that. I love it.
Well, something that I liked, that I liked watching.
Yes.
Very briefly, I know you're a Foundation stan.
Yes.
And I've been watching Foundation. My really great longtime friend and currently flatmate, Marika, have been watching Foundation. And we love it. We love Lee Pace. We do feel like...
He's so hot.
He's so hot.
It is so ridiculous how hot that person is. Like, that, it's ridiculous.
And he once lived in Wellington, so I'm wondering, like, he could be even listening to Access Radio
he
right now.
He could be. Oh, my gosh.
So,
but it's
call
like,
me, Lee Pace.
There is nothing... Like, sorry. Sorry, I got excited. But, like, you think, oh, he probably won't look good with his shirt off, and then he takes his shirt off and he looks great.
Yeah, I just, like, pecs.
Those pecs, that fight. Anyway, sorry, I'm carrying on in serious mode.
But seriously, we love your work,
Liz. Yeah, seriously.
But,
Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM.
So Foundation... We feel like we're really, I don't know the kind of politically correct or like good, like what, like blue balls? Like,
Marika
and I felt like we were really blue balled for some good like queer content, and that there are these like really, we felt like there were these really queer coded female characters, and then they end up having like obnoxious heterosexual sex with like, I'm not going to be like with men. And we were like, oh no, okay, that was a bummer. But look, here's this new character who's like clearly going to have some, like, it's going to meet our like queer, like lesbian, like queer woman needs. And then it just doesn't. It's like, oh no, here's their like limp heterosexual love interest.
Feels like such a hangover from the original text. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just that boys kind of, Yeah, sorry, I could talk for hours on this, but okay. You know, this just this idea, like I feel like I was brought up on it where it's like, ah, oh, these women, but they're ours. You know, like it just is really weird. You know, God forbid. And yeah, I do agree. Like I think my big obsession with that program is the idea of the three. What do they call themselves? Regal or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Day, dawn and dusk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like I'm super interested in that, but there are definitely some side things I'm just like, oh boy, come on. But yeah, but like, yeah, I do think it's really worth a watch though.
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're partway through the second season and I think
we're... Yeah, we're the same. Yeah.
Okay, and Prehistoric Planet on Apple TV also.
Ah!
Beautiful. Dinosaur Cretaceous documentary. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just walking. What are those pterodactyls? Like the way now they walk on their knuckles.
Oh, yeah, the Quetzalcoatlus.
Quetzalcoatlus.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't even say it. Sorry. I just couldn't believe that was a thing.
Yeah, and like, and that wonderful scene on the beach.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, like T-Rex versus Quetzalcoatlus. Now I can't say it.
I'm sorry, I've jinxed all dinosaur talk. There you go. That is really good. I really enjoyed that. Bo got us onto that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he heard it through you, but yeah, he was just like, oh my gosh, we have to watch this. And it was cool. Very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
And my last thing that I really liked watching is recent is Cole Escola's Our Home... Our Home Out West. Do you know Cole Escola?
I don't. Oh, yes, I do know Cole Escola. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I haven't seen the shows that they're in, but...
They're in...
Terrible People or something?
Yeah, Terrible People and also Search Party, which is one of my favourite shows.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love them so much.
Cole and I are the same age, I think, and so I've been watching their content on YouTube or whatever for years. But
this is the new thing, eh? Our Home Out West.
Yes. Yeah. So this is only released a week or so ago, or a couple of weeks ago, and I'm showing it to everyone. So Our Home Out West is like an unaired pilot for like a Western TV show, and it's partially set in a brothel, and it's just really camp and really, really good. And Cole is like just a genius, like just a ridiculous genius.
Yeah.
Maybe Cole is visiting Wellington right now.
Yes, like, Wellington 8 cents Radio 106. Yeah, I honestly their work is just, and there are shows that I've watched just because they're in the, like,
right.
Terrible People. I didn't know if I was going to be able to carry on with, but I was just like, but maybe Cole will be in it. So yeah, it's great. Oh my god, those are such a good. That is such a good combination of things. Oh my gosh, I'm very excited. I'm very excited about that, and I figure maybe we can just finish off talking about 2024. How are you feeling about 2024? This was such a bad question. I think I should not have asked people this.
No, I think it's a great question, and I'm still turning it over, turning over these stones in my brain. But you're asking about bioheritage and the work, my mahi there.
Mm.
And part of what is beautiful about that job, or part of what is really invigorating about that job for me is... interviewing incredible researchers on, I interviewed Phil Liver, who is an Indigenous researcher who spent time in the Northwest Territories of Canada with the Dene Sotlane, collaborating on language revitalization. I interviewed Molly Leiders, I think her name is, from Hokonui, Raunanga, and she had travelled over and was working with the Umatilla and Yakima nations, collaborating on kanakana conservation and looking at first foods and things like this. Mordina Wood, Blake Takata, Kelly Kahukiwa on Taonga Puoro, and just like great minds.
Mm-hmm.
And and it has me thinking with, you know, that there's years of momentum now in Aotearoa, with language revitalization and hard work ensuring that Mātauranga Māori and Te Ao Māori is uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not a political scientist, but you know, like some of the stuff bubbling up at the moment seems pretty worrying. But I just like, with the momentum that tangata whenua have in this country, and with the allyship as well, but primarily with the powerhouse that are Indigenous activists in Aotearoa, that's what I see for 2024, I guess. Yeah. I'm like, and I really hard times for people, but I really hope rangatahi are, and the activism that rangatahi are activating, I imagine that they're really pulling a lot of power from the work that has gone on over the last few hundred years, and they're really charged up by that. Does that make sense?
That is such a good way to finish. I feel much better now. Thank you. Tell me, speaking of amazing things, do you want to just introduce your last song? And and I just want to say thank you so much for your time. And yeah, do you want to introduce your last song and we will play that?
Great. All right, thank you so much for having me, Pip. It's a blast. So Bobby Sanchez is a two-spirit trans performer, artist from the Americas, I'm not sure where, and her song is called Two-Spirit Anthem.
Awesome. Thanks, Kerry.